So through my interaction with the college students, I have found out that some of the hottest movies on Netflix right now, one movie's name, The Old Guard. Without spoiling too much about that actual movie itself, I forced myself to watch it. It was not that bad. But it's basically about a group of immortals, or what seem to be immortals. So they cannot be killed, because when they're shot or when they get stabbed or when they get some type of wounds, that they automatically heal themselves. Well, they seem to be invincible and powerful. They might be powerful, but what seem to be the ultimate power is really not ultimate at all. For some reason, somehow, they don't know when their body stops healing and they die. So ultimately, they're not immortals. They're not all powerful. And of course, you have to skip through all of the typical Hollywood garbage and agenda that are on there. But ultimately, the real message is that there's this evil guy that wants to steal the secret of immortality from them, but they themselves don't even have it. And I think all of us can relate to this, because this is our human basic desire, isn't it? To be immortal, to live forever, because we hate to face our mortality. We hate to know of our expiration date. We want to be all-powerful and all-controlling, and to escape what seems to be it's unescapable, which is death itself. And then another documentary that I have watched in recent time is actually about a composer, songwriter, and producer that I really like, because my parents listened to his music again. And if you're back in the 80s, I mean, his music was everywhere. David Foster. Y'all know him, right? David Foster. He wrote a lot of beautiful songs, and this documentary about him. He said that when he was being interviewed and they asked him, why do you leave your marriages? He basically simply said, well, a psychologist could say that I am a runner. When I feel that something gets hard, I run away. And so he said that he felt very guilty on some of the marriage that he had ran away. But ultimately, for me, as we get to the end of the documentary itself, he began to show his ultimate fear, the fear of being forgotten. You know, he's very famous. You hear his song all the time. And he worked hard to be remembered among people, but he is fearful of being forgotten. And I think these two film or movies or shows seem to be so drastically different, but they're very similar, because they contain our basic human desire to want to live forever, to be in control, or not be forgotten or abandoned. And I think we can all relate to this, especially with the gospel reading today, isn't it? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the great merchant who found great pearls that he's willing to sell everything to purchase it. Or like a man who found a treasure in his own field, which he sells everything in order to get it. Well, here, let me ask you a question. This question is really hard to answer. Are you willing to trade, sell, or let go of everything to purchase the kingdom of God? Are you willing to let go of everything in order to grab onto God? Or are you willing to sacrifice God for everything? To be honest with you, it's a hard question to answer, huh? because it seems like, especially when we're younger, when we try to make a name for ourselves, and unfortunately, many of us are willing to let go of God in order to attain everything that we wanted, instead of selling everything that we have in order to love God. It's not easy. And perhaps our life of faith right now in America, we have a lot of people who identify themselves as Catholics, but they haven't been in touch with their Catholic faith for a long time. That unfortunately, when it come time to vote or some time to discern or things like that, they react out of the warped version of Catholicism that they have back in the past, and they never understand what it truly means to live out one faith with deep commitment, perseverance, and the fullness of love. And that's why it's easy for us to create ourselves and create a pseudo version of the true faith into something that only pleases us. Then God only becomes something that only serves me, instead of me leaving everything to follow Him, serving Him and my brothers and sisters. Therefore, the question of the true faith asks each and every one of us, do we want information? Do we want stuff? Do we want things? Or do we want God? In the first reading today, Solomon asked to have real wisdom, which is the knowledge of God and eternal things, in order to judge and in order to rule wisely as a king. I wonder how many of our politicians really ask for that, or are they simply using God in order to get what they want? And I think in America we struggle because we really want to do the right things, but the vestiges of original sin take the best out of us because we're so confused about the ultimate good. So each and every one of us want to do good, but we turn to ourselves at the standard and criterion of goodness and truth. That's why divisions come in, and that's why we allow ourselves, our politics, our humanity, our self-made or ego-centered created things and agendas and everything divide us and turn us against one another. We haven't truly asked for wisdom that comes from above, wisdom that can only be learned, wisdom that can only be attained in knowing God, in following Him, and in loving Him truthfully. In order to attain true wisdom, it needs to have that relationship with God Himself, and especially the courage to let go of everything. Let go of everything to purchase, to grab on, and to hold on to what is truly dear for us, things that are eternal, things that are transcendental, and things that come from the heart of the Almighty, instead of things that only benefit us. And that's why in the second reading today, St. Paul was so clear in telling us that our vocation as Christians is to conform our lives to become more like Christ. So we ask ourselves that the mess that we're in right now as America, why did this happen? Because we have Christians and people who have not conformed their lives as Christ. That's the answer. We talk much about Christ. We talk much about God on our lips, but our actions are contradictory, and we have never conformed our lives to Christ. Of course, I'm going to get some hateful emails soon when people hear this at podcasts and things. But it's the truth. We let God be on our lips, but not in our hearts. We speak much about God, but we haven't sold everything to attain what is truly giving us life. We haven't let go of the hardest thing ever, ourselves. Our ego, our own standard of judgment and self-righteousness, in order to grab on to Jesus. If you don't believe me, If you just pull up politics and see that you will leave that conversation angry. And you know what? In recent times, there have been people from both sides of the political spectrum trying to force me and tell me how to vote. And they trying to educate me on both capitalism and socialism. And I'm thinking here, well, you're thinking like a political animal, which Aristotle say is easy to boil down to. But you're not thinking as Christians, not allowing yourself and myself to rise above the politics and do what is right. Here in America, we tend to allow our politics to define us. When was the last time we allowed our faith to define our politics and to define who we are with actions, with life, with words, with deeds? Don't tell me what I should vote for, who I should vote for. Tell me how you and I are going to live the gospel. Then your words and your vote will mean much more than me. My brothers and sisters, politics are cheap because politics can be manipulated by others. Only the gospel will set us free, and the gospel cannot be bound by any government, and the gospel cannot be bound by anything lesser than the truth, because the truth sets us free. Why are we angry? Why are we agitated? Why are we fearful? Why are we giving into despair? Because we allowed ourselves to be defined by the things that change, the opinions of news network, media, and the opinions of other people, that we waste our time talking about things that if we could change them, as if we could control them, as if we could do whatever. But we never talk about the things that changes us because we don't want to change ourselves. We want to change others. And those things are cheap. Those things don't change the heart. What changes the heart are genuine actions of love. And love changes the world. Because love is sacrificial, love is real, love is self-giving, love did not have to prove anything, and that's why God is love. Do you see Jesus having to prove himself? No, he chose to lay down his life for his neighbor, for the ones who hate him. Have we laid down our lives for others, or are we demanding others to lay down their lives for us? The way of faith is the way that frees us from hatred, from despair, from anger, and everything that comes from our human heart by lifting us up to God. So I'm asking you, my brothers and sisters, turn off the TV for a second. You'll be okay. Because guess what? As soon as you turn on, you haven't missed anything. The same old garbage is on there from one crisis to the next. Turn it off. Are you filling yourself and myself with the things of this world? Are you and I making enough time for God? How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time we spend in reflection and meditation? What are we intaking? I'm gonna be a spiritual doctor today. What are you eating? What are you intaking? What are you allowing yourself to be? I hope things that come from God, things that lift up our heart, things that help us love more and more each day, things that we're willing to let go of everything to grab onto Jesus himself.